Then grab a seat and we can get going. All right. Gabe, do you open us up in a word of prayer? Amen. All right. So we got a special one this week on New Year's. And just to give you a little history, I like to do a lot of research. I'm a weirdo like that. But a little history on New Year's. The earliest records that they have are 2000 BC. Babylon celebrated when the days and nights were equally, you know, when they were equal, they celebrated the victory of, hopefully I don't massacre this, Marduk over Tiamat. That's what they did. That's what they celebrated. Assyria celebrated in September, and they celebrated the new moon. Egypt celebrated in July. And that was because of the flooding of the Nile and, because it was good for the irrigation of their crops. Persia, their new year began in March and they gave gifts of eggs. Greece, their new year started with the winter solstice. In Rome, they used to celebrate March 1st. And what happened was Julius Caesar ended up changing that to January 1st to celebrate the Roman god of Janus. And then, of course, you know, the Catholic Church took it farther and cemented that. And I believe it was 1852 when they had the Council of Nicaea. And Pope Gregory said, this is what we're going to do. And we're going to celebrate it from now on like that. Now, this doesn't mean, like, don't celebrate, you know, New Year's. That was just a little history. I think people go a little crazy on things like that. Just a side note, Christmas alone. Now, we know it's not the birth of Christ, December 25th. But, you know, starting to get into that and researching that a lot, the only reason why they did it was because some people in the early church believed that Christ was going to die on the same day he was conceived, which obviously you count from March forward and it's 9 months to December. You know, they believed that he died on March 25th. So that's where they get that. But a lot of people say, oh, it's this or that. And the whole solstice thing is ridiculous. Because it has nothing to do with the 25th. I believe that ends around the December 17th. So, I mean, don't take in stock all these holidays, right? Paul even says it. Don't judge somebody on a new moon or Sabbath day or this day or that. It's dumb. Every day should be celebrated because we have a Savior. Every day. Doesn't matter. But that's just a little bit of history. Now, if you would all turn to Exodus... I wanted to pick a good passage to start this out with, and I really truly believe that Exodus 12, if you turn to Exodus 12, was one of the best things we can do to get into the new year. Exodus 12, and we'll start in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak you unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make you count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door posts of the house, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both men and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And here we have, we're talking about Moses leading the people out and God getting ready to choose his people, but it's also a foreshadowing of Christ. That's what this is, the blood. And there's no better way to start a new year than what? Remembering that Christ gave us a way out. God gave us a Savior. That blood, it passes over us. That blood's on you. And judgment comes, it passes over. And it's a great way to just remember. Remember the whole year, what he's done for you. In Proverbs 29, it says, it's Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. And what you need to, when we start the new year, is remember that we need a vision. Everybody talks about this. New Year is great for the old, for the world. And in the passage of Exodus, that's what Egypt is. It's the world, and everybody wants to get a new leaf and a new set of rules or whatever it is. And you can't do that. You can't do that without being washed in the blood of Christ. You cannot. Because I know. I've been there. I don't know how many times in my life that I've been... This was a great partying time for me when I was lost. I'd use it for an excuse. It went from Thanksgiving to afternoon. And I'll tell you, the things I did, how I woke up, not knowing where I was, or just how I felt, right? That's how it would be. Oh, well, New Year's is over. Guess what? I'm never going to drink again. I'm never going to do these stupid things again. And where was I? Back there. Now I'm washing the blood of Christ, and it's been 12 years since I've had a drop. 12 years since I've even wanted to. What's the point of it? There's not. But I could not comprehend. I could not go, hey, I could stick to this and do it. I couldn't. But you need a vision. You need to know where you're going. What do you see? How do you see the future? What do you see in your lives? How do you see your relationship grow with Christ? That's what your vision should be all about. It should be wanting to read the Bible more. And I'm not one to specifically say you should read so many. Some people can read a lot, some people can't. And sometimes you'll read, sometimes it takes a verse, a two verse, and you got to stop because you got to spend the next few hours just thinking on it. But you should have some kind of a vision of how you want to start your year. Is it going to be for you? Is it going to be for God? He set these things up. And there's where what you have in Passover. He says, let this be the month of the new year. Why come in? And we need to remember these things. We need to remember who God is, what He saved us from. A lot of people like this time to reflect. And if you're somebody that can reflect, reflect. But a lot of people reflect on these bad things, Christians alone. Why do you need to reflect on these bad things? If you keep a short account, you ain't going to have to reflect on them. They're taken care of. But people want to reflect on these, on the negative, or what did I do wrong so I could do it better? And there's nothing wrong. Some people can do that and some people can't. But if you dwell on that, that's no vision in that. You're dwelling on that. So old man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you're dwelling on the negative, you're going to be negative. If you're dwelling on these things wrong, going, I can't do this again, I can't do this, you're going to do it again. But it should be, our vision should be God's word, because it's important to us. It's His word. It should be. If you turn over to Isaiah, Isaiah 28, Isaiah 28 and verse 10, it says, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. And then if we skip down to verse 13, it says, but the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Now, in the context of that, it's a little different, but it is important. Why? Because you're going to get lost. You're going to fall. You're going to go do those little sins. You're going to have more compromising when you're not in the Word. You will. You really will. But it should be. Your vision should be, how can I get into the Word more? How can I read a little bit more? Everybody likes the Bible reading calendar. For the longest time, I put it off because that's not how I can read. Just skipping around like that. My brain doesn't like work. But I did do it 1 year, and it was fantastic because the way it's set up, it can give you a lot of information, and you can see how everything intertwines in the Bible. Everything's connected. But a lot of people like the calendar. But then a lot of Christians fall short on reading that. And then what do you do? I mean, we do it even without a calendar. We, you know, something happens, something comes up, and we don't read for today. And the next thing you know, it's like, oh, I'll read double tomorrow. No, you won't. Nobody ever reads double. I mean, if you do, hey, praise the Lord, that's good. But usually it's I'll just make up for that and read a little more tomorrow, and then you don't. Chances are you probably don't even read what you were supposed to read that day, the next day. But that's no reason to give up. Have that vision to continue. And when you continue, when you get back to read, don't go, I'm going to start all over. Don't. You can't do that. You can't start over. Just continue where you left off. That's what God wants you to do, to continue. Because if you stop there and you stop reading, and you go, oh, I'll just go back, what's going to happen is there might be something you were supposed to get. Now you're not, because you're going back. God has a reason for things. And if you go back, what's going to happen? You might cut off at a different point now. And then you're going back. And then you're going back. The whole idea is not to go back to the world. Is not to go back. Not like the Hebrews who wanted to go back to Egypt. With the leeks and the garlic, right? That's not the whole thing. Continue. If you continue like that and just keep going, eventually, you know, you'll just keep going. I mean, you're going to come around to it anyways. You cannot read the Bible enough. It's not like, hey, I went through it once, it's good. Every time I do a lesson or I do something on Friday nights at Hope, or I always see something new. I always see a different. And I'm like, hey, wow, you know, this is fantastic. And it could be just one little word, one little word. And you go, wow, this changes how I look at this verse now because of this one word. So you want to have a vision of being staying with his word. I mean, why is this so important? Well, if you turn over to Hebrews, Hebrews 4, Hebrews 4 and verse 12. And the Bible says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So if you're sitting there and you go, okay, my vision is I want to be in God's word more. I want to read more. But you stop and then you go all the way back going, I'm gonna continue again. How is that going to discern your heart? You're going back to what you've already read. You need to continue because God got something. This the Bible goes somewheres, in case anybody didn't know that. And, you know, I'm kind of waiting for the ending. That's what I'm looking forward to. But we do. We need to always check it out. And this is a good time, right? A new year, it's a new start. Let's get in his word. Let's kind of examine ourselves like the Bible says. Examine whether you be in the faith. This is a good time. How do you do that? By letting God's word discern your heart. Where are you at? Where are you in that walk? Did you slide backwards? If you did, don't dwell on it. Get back in. Go forward. But it's important to keep going. You should have a vision. There's tons of visions, you know. Vision, goal, whatever you want to call it, right? We should have these in life. We really should. No matter what it is, for the day or whatever. whether in this new year we want to learn how to forgive more or be forgiven more or just whatever it may be. But we need to have some kind of vision of going forward of how we want our lives to go as we continue in our walk with Christ, trying to be more Christ-like, hopefully, is our intent. If you turn over to Luke, Luke 17, and I like this passage because this is something I just seen. Luke 17 and verse 3, it says, "Take heed to yourselves, that thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." And we use this verse a lot for forgiveness. This is what we talk about. Well, how many times I got to forgive somebody? They're doing me wrong. How many times? And he tells you, seven times. But you know what would be a good vision? How about repentance? Because repentance is in there. Maybe you're not the one that needs to forgive somebody. Maybe you're the one that needs to be forgiven. And you need to go back and repent. Because that passage says that. It says that there's somebody there repenting. It's not always us just trying to forgive somebody. It's us needing forgiveness. And we forget that. We forget that a lot during the course of the year. We like to bring up things about how other Christians did us wrong or somebody in the world did us wrong, not realizing how much wrong we have done. You go, you know what? Let's take care of this, right? And that's why you don't need to dwell on the bad, because you could take care of it with God anytime you want, anytime. There's always an invitation here that you can come up, right? Leave it here at the altar, go back. But you need that. You need these visions, forgiveness, repentance. Because what happens is you start looking at vision, and what happens? Vision can be blurry. Vision can be double. That's not what you want. That's not the vision you want to have. In James 1:8, it says a double-minded man is unstable in all his way. That's what happens when you start getting that double vision, because you don't have the right vision on who you are, on Christ, on how your year wants to go, on how your day wants to go. Because let's be honest, it's a day-by-day walk, a hour-by-hour, a minute-by-minute. And if we're not there, we're going to get messed up. But you need a vision. You need to get a vision. And then you need to get focused. Right? What's focused? Focus is just, hey, I'm going to set my attention on something. And see, that's where we go wrong, because we go, I want to set my attention on something. How about we set our attention on someone? We get focused on someone. That's what we need to do. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What are you focused on? Get focused. Colossians 3:2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. And why is that? Because that's what happens. We lose focus too many times. And that's not what the new year gives us, that chance to just try to go, hey, you know, I've lost it. I know I could have done this better, Lord, and I didn't, because I wasn't focused on you. I was focused on what I wanted. I was focused on what, you know, if you got a family, if you're a parent, I was focused on my kids instead of you. And believe me, no matter what it is, whether it's a wife, a husband, children, family, if you're focused on the Lord, everything else will take care of itself. Everything else will. But you gotta have that focus. You gotta have that attention towards the one who could solve the problems, the one who's there for you. And yes, he may not solve every problem, but he'll walk through it with you. The problem comes from when we forget who we should be looking at all the time. That's what it comes to. And hopefully I don't steal this from anything that Pastor Kenny has. But we were talking about this Friday night, and I got to go back to it. If we go to 2 Peter, and we use this in Redeeming Hope over there. But this is, I love this, and I'm going to read this. In 2 Peter chapter 1, and 2 Peter chapter 1, and we will start in verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and of virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brother kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, do ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think I meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. And we go into this. These are things you should be focused on. You need to add. In the new year, you need to add. If you can't add to your life, then where are you going to be? Because you're surely not going to stay the same. You're surely not going to stay in the same relationship with God. You're surely not going to be good with everybody around you. You need to add these things. But that's the problem. We lose our focus because we don't want to continue to grow. We don't have to want to continue to have to put in the effort that we're supposed to. Because yes, the Christian walk is just that, a walk. It's an action. It takes effort. It takes time. And when we come into the new year, it's a good thing to remember. Get your vision. Get your focus. How are we going to go on? But the often is over there we have what we call as a triggers list. And that's just, I mean, I'll be honest. I love it. But it's really just a simple way of saying journaling. It really is. But it starts really simple. And when you do that, when you make a list and say, hey, this is, you know, I'm losing my temper here. Or I'm not very forgiving over here. And you do that, you start to see why you do that. So now you see where your focus is lost. You see what makes you lose your focus. And then you can regain your focus. But if you don't know what makes you lose your focus, how are you going to continue? How are you going to, well, I did it again. I don't know. I mean, basically, that's what you end up with. I don't know. I don't know what to do. You know, why are Christians struggling? They're not staying focused. They're not understanding what's making them lose their focus. And therein, we don't add anything to our lives. We stay the same. During the whole year, I mean, you could probably think back of times when you've lost your focus. When you may have not done things the way you should have. You've let it slide for too long. Get your focus back. That's what he wants. He wants you to get your focus back. We need to be ready at a moment's notice to give the gospel, to just talk, to whatever it may be. So you need to get vision, you need to get focus, you need to get prayed up. Right? So when we talk about vision, we talked about the Word of God. The Word of God is one part of communication. It's God talking to you. Now we got prayer, get prayed up. That's the other half of communication. That's you talking to God. And you need both to work. You need both to work. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. He wants you to pray to him. He wants you to talk to him. And that's what we need to do. The problem is we don't have the right mindset when we come to prayer. We don't want to pray the way we should, or we let it go. Prayer life is absolutely necessary. Absolutely necessary. Why is it necessary? Well, because it allows us to trust in God more. Everybody's seen that. I mean, there's not one person in this church that can't say, hey, I prayed for this and God did it. And like, oh, that's awesome. And what do? You go, hey, man, my faith is increasing. I like this, you know. And he may not give you everything you want. He may not answer everything. Well, he does answer everything, but it's probably a no. Or wait. That's the hardest one is wait. Like, I'm not, just wait. I'll let you know when time's right if it's yes or no. But you're not ready to have that. And that's the problem. Sometimes we're not ready to have that answer. And we're not, because we'll do something stupid with that opportunity or situation. So he says, I need to grow you some more. But it allows us to trust in him and not in ourselves. And again, that's what happens with our vision and focus. We put things in that we want, not things that should be based on God's word, not things that should be based on the Christian walk. We base them on what we want. But prayer also encourages us. Right? I mean, it does. You go, hey, that's good. But not only us, but others around us. Because we hear about these situations and we're like, wow, Lord, you took care of that. And then the next time we're like, you know what, Lord? Right? We all have the same God, I'm hoping, right? We're all saved. Then we have the same God. You can ask. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally. Ask. Ask for wisdom. He'll give it to you. Ask for knowledge. Ask to increase your faith, whatever it may be. I mean, that kind of goes along with the vision. Kind of goes along with focus, right? If you're not asking him, you don't know where to go. But it says all men liberally. So, right? All. Which means anybody can ask him at any time. Anybody can go to him in prayer. Anybody can say, hey, Lord, I'm struggling. Lord, is my vision right? Lord, is my focus right? Lord, I'm praying to you. And he'll answer you. But how many times, I mean, do we not ask? And we wonder why the new year starts out just as bad as the old. Because we're not going to him. We're not asking. We're not caring enough to say, hey, my God can do the impossible. We sit here and we'd rather make him a liar. And that's no good. We also pray why? To live peaceful lives, right? That's in 1 Timothy 2, right? You want to pray for a peaceable life. And then I believe the end of it is, why do you pray for these? Because it's going to help you out. God wants everybody saved, and you're gonna be able to tell somebody about it. I mean, that's the main thing. Every year should be the same thing. Every day should be the same thing. It should be you wanting to tell somebody about what your Savior has done. And when we don't do that, probably because we don't have the right vision. We're not focused. We're not praying. But we really should. I've seen this. You know, you always see these people and they ask, why would I want to be saved? Why would I want to do this? So I could spend an eternity, having a God force me to worship. And you think about this, it's not him forcing worship. And you go, well, and people don't get that. You know why? Because if you go see a movie and you like it, what do? You go tell somebody, right? Is that forcing somebody to watch that movie? Is that forcing somebody to do something? No, you're not. It's because of the salvation he's given us. It's because of this. It's because of the prayers that have been answered. Why am I saved? Prayer. I grew up in a hard Roman Catholic family who my mother was saved, but I never knew because she had to switch religions to Catholic to please my father. But her and my aunt prayed for me. And then I got the gospel. And then you people here prayed for me. And where am I now? Prayer is essential. Prayer can give you that boldness. It can give you that courage in a new year. It can give you the right answers to say to somebody when you're struggling what to say, to get them to even consider your Savior, to look at Him in the right light. And that's what we all need. God's the only one that knows what discourages you and what will encourage you. And each person is different. I mean, it really is. Each person is different. And that's where prayer comes in. We're supposed to pray for each other. We need to pray for each other. Why? Because we don't know what's going on in everybody's lives. That's going to encourage you. That's going to encourage others. That's going to be like, okay, Lord, you know, amen. That's why He gave us each other. That's why He gave us a local church. Not to force us in here and, I don't know, do all these weird things that people think we do. And it's to encourage each other. It's to love each other. To pray for each other. I mean, isn't that a great... I mean, Tuesday, you know, we're going to have something here. We're going to pray in the new year. Isn't that what we want? Right? We're going to be together praying in the new year. That's a great way, man. That's a great vision to start the year, right? I mean, that's some good focus. I mean, to have that, you know, I thank our pastors for doing things like this, because that is... We take prayer for granted. I think we take prayer for granted more than we take His word. You know? Everybody, I read. Well, I read my proverb. Okay, so you're reading. What about praying? Well, no. And you run into that a lot. You run into... Every year you'll hear a down-and-out Christian that's not encouraged, that's discouraged, go, well, no, God doesn't want to hear about that. Don't we? That's too small. That's not. Does it mean something to you? Yes, then it's not small. Because you sure enough weren't small enough for Him to die on that cross for you. He didn't think that. He wants your heart. He wants you to start this new year off good. He wants you to celebrate what He's done for you. You know, that blood on the goalpost in Egypt, I mean, on the post in Egypt, that's Christ. He's going, I'm coming for all you guys, and I am going to cover you. Just get My word. Get a little vision. Get a little focus. Pray up. But the last thing we have to look at, and it's the toughest. All right, you got to get vision, you got to get focus, you got to get prayed up, then you got to get going. You got to get going, and see, this is where every year when we try to do it, it is. It's like us Christians forget who we have as God, and we go to, I'm going to turn a new leaf. Right? I'll, you know, and we don't call it that because we're Christians. We're not making New Year's resolutions. We're not doing this. But basically, that's what we do. Because we fall short. Why? Because we don't want to get going. The biggest thing we try to teach over there in Redeeming Hope is application. Application. That's what the word comes down. Because you can read all you want, you can pray all you want, but if you're going to do nothing about it, it's useless. You could say that I'm right with God and I'm right where I'm supposed to be and all this. I'm pretty sure the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. Walking is an action. How do we apply things? By doing them. How is faith an action? By doing what the Bible tells us to do. So if you're not getting going, that's why we struggle. Because we don't want to do it. I'm sure I could ask anybody in here, I could pick a situation and go, hey, what do you think about that? And you guys would give a verse off the top of your head and say, hey, this is it. But how many have actually applied that verse in their lives? You don't. And believe me, when you apply it, it works out for the better. Hey, man, you start getting going, and you're going to have more visions, right? And I'm not talking about the visions like, you know, hey, I seen the Lord. He's coming back next week. That's not the visions I'm talking about. And I have to say that because I don't know. I love everybody in there, and I hope that wouldn't happen, but I don't know. But that's the thing. You can read. You can pray. You can reflect all you want. If you refuse to go and do it, your new year will be the same as last year. And most likely it'll probably be worse. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. Right there. We just read it not too long ago in 2 Peter. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You don't want to add. You don't want to grow. You don't want to get going. You can't go to God and say, I don't know what I did wrong, Lord. Because you know what you did wrong. You didn't apply. And this is why we struggle. This is why we go. This is why we're supposed to add. This is why it's important, right? Because all that does it. And that's what Christians are really good at, is making a plan and not following through. And that's why I say, that's what we do. Let's be honest, that's what we do every year, is we make a New Year's resolution. We try to turn over a new leaf instead of relying on the God that saved us. Instead of asking for wisdom when we need it. Instead of letting God's word discern our hearts, to discern where we're at. Instead of examining ourselves, instead of the person sitting next to us. We do that a lot. I'm guilty. I'll be honest, I'm guilty. You know? And we got all these things. And you have people, why? And I honestly believe God will reward. He's not slow in his rewards. I don't believe that. I mean, the final one where we get a new body and go home. I mean, that could be a little quicker for me, but that's me. But he's not slow in rewarding. He's usually good. And people wonder, why does this person have opportunities to do this or that, or, you know, or why can't I get involved in this or that? Why can't I help out? Because you don't want to get going. You don't. You know, again, I mean, that's what God's given me over there, is redeeming hope. And he didn't give it to me because I did nothing. He did it because I got going. He did it because I chose to add. Now, don't think you have to be in a ministry or anything like that, but, I mean, you want to do certain things, get going. But he did that. He rewarded me with that. When I was offered that, I did a lot of praying. Because I really didn't want to do it. That's every Friday. That's every Friday, whether somebody shows up or not. Well, I guess I got to put a little effort into that, huh? But that's the thing. Get going. That's how you get. That's how God rewards you. Hey, get going. Hey, you got your vision? You got your focus? Yeah, you're praying? Yeah, you got all these? Awesome. Now get going. That's what God says. Get going. I'll correct you as you go. Don't worry about it. As long as you're doing these and you're as long as you're adding and staying focused, God will shift you as you go, because if you start to veer off. But if you don't get going, I mean, what's he going to do? Philippians be the last verse. Philippians 3. Philippians 3 and verse 13. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Get going. So you stop reading your Bible. Continue. Don't go back. Start where you left off. Keep going. Right? And that way he says, don't look back. Pretty sure there's something about putting your hand to the plow and looking back. Don't do that. Keep going. Go for God. Get going. Because that's what's going to get your new year off right and all that. Not by sitting there and going, oh, well, I don't know what to do. You know what to do. God's given every one of us something to do. Maybe you just lost your vision. Maybe you just lost your focus. Maybe you know what the vision is. You just lost your focus. Maybe you haven't prayed for help enough. Or maybe you're just refusing to get going. Sometimes that happens. But the new year is something special. It should mean more to a Christian. Because since you are a new creature in Christ, and behold, all things are become new, you have a chance for a new year every day. You have it. You have the power of God living inside you. You know, sometimes we sit in church and we ignore that. We ignore the Holy Spirit. And I know we're not Pentecostal, but I think sometimes, you know, maybe we should be accused of that once in a while. How many times have we sat there and the Lord's like, hey, say amen? No, I don't know what people will think if I say that loud. Get a vision. Hey, Lord, I want to say amen. When something's said and it hits me, I want to say amen. I don't care what anybody thinks. I care what you think, Lord. I want to stay focused on you. I want my heart on you. I want my prayers going towards you, not for what I want for others. I want to get going for you. I want to get busy in this year, in this new year. I want to do something. You know, it doesn't matter if you're in a ministry or something. Do something else. Keep going. There's always opportunity. So it says in Galatians, wherefore we have opportunity to do good unto all men, especially of the household of faith. You have opportunity. Get going. Do something. Father, I just pray, Lord, that this is a blessing, Lord, that we could start this new year off right, Lord. Pray you be with Pastor Kenny as he comes out and gives a message later, Lord. And just, Lord, please don't let us lose focus. Don't let us have that absolute perfect vision of what you would have us to do, Lord. Keep our focus. Let's keep our prayers to you, Lord. Let's keep those lines of communication open so we know when we're straying off, and just help us to get going in this new year, Lord. We just thank you so much, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you, if you come back, Lord, today, we would be so thankful. We just pray that you do, Lord. You come back soon and get us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.